is Brother Steve Busuwa. Let me spell his name. B-U-S-U-L-W-A. Busuwa. So you know. We love Brother Steve. Just met him a few years ago. And God has worked in our lives through him. And we love him. And I'm glad you're here. Brother Steve.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Hallelujah. I want to thank God for this opportunity which has given me to stand again before you. And also I want to thank God for my dad and mom and all of you too to be here in this evening, this night, to share the word of God. I want to bring greetings from Uganda, from my wife Judith, Treasurer, and the entire church. They love you. I know you are praying for us, also we are praying for you. Just I'm praying that one day all of you can come and visit us in Uganda. That's my prayer. Because I talk about you in Uganda, therefore they are eager to see your faces, they want to see you. Therefore I know that one day God will open up our door, then you can come and see us in Uganda. We love you and we are praying for you. I want also to thank God for the great work which He's doing here. It's my joy that when I come in the praise, then I come back and I see changes, growth, and more people are coming. Really, I appreciate God for that. Because not everywhere that God is doing what He's doing here, people to have a thirst for God, to hear His word, to be committed. I was talking with Mom today that not all of them, but most of Americans, they are so proud. Because of pride, they don't want to submit to God. Now, because they don't want to submit to anybody, that's why they don't want to come to church. They don't have time for God because of pride. And pride is a seed from the devil. Therefore, when you don't fight pride, then you never submit to God. And even God will do nothing within your life when you don't submit to Him. You have to submit. But most of people, they don't want to submit. They feel that they can handle their life without God. They can do their things the way they want. Then also God sits somewhere and watch you doing your own things. But one day He is waiting for you, that you will stand before His throne to give accountability. Therefore, it is very important when you get a time and you submit to God and you give your life to Him, then that is very important. And I want to request you that please keep it on, keep it on, keep it on. Amen?
Amen.
Keep it on. When I was coming, I had to prepare myself asking God, why am I coming here? Why am I going in the United States? I wanted Him to give me the message which I have to share. And the message which He gave me three things which I want to share with you all these days. Number one is to build up the altars. The Lord told me that go and tell people that let them build altar. Let them call me back into their homes. Let them call me back into their homes. He told me that it's a great work which He wants to do. He's raising up another generation which is going to be committed, but He wants people to call God back into their homes. Most of people here in America, you have kicked out God from your homes. When you kick God out of your home, that means you kick Him out of your family and out of your life. He's out. You have a lot of things to have dragged you from God, and you are committed to other things. Now the Lord told me to come and tell you that He's calling upon you so that you can invite Him back in your home, invite Him back in your life, invite Him back in your family. Some people, they have problems and divorce in everywhere because God is out of the family. Now when you kick out God in your family, then things cannot work out. Now He told me to tell you that build up altars, call Him back in your home. Call Him back into your family. That's what I've been preaching since I came here in US. The second thing which He told me is to tell you that to allow the Spirit of God to do what He wants within your life and within the ministry. Some ministries, they have their system of doing things, then they don't give opportunity the Spirit of God to do what He wants. They want also the Holy Spirit to do things according to what they want. Is that clear?
Yeah.
You have the way how you have set up your life. This is how I handle my life. Then you'd want also the Spirit of God to do according to your program, the way how you are handling your life. Then it is very difficult. Now He told me to tell you that please let Him do what He wants within your life, within your family, and within the ministry. We are not supposed to be what we want. We are supposed to be what He wants. Is that clear? You are not supposed to handle your life the way you want. You have to handle your life the way He wants. You are not supposed to handle your family the way you want. You have to handle it the way He wants it. Now we need to let the Spirit of God come back and let Him do what He has to do within our church, within our ministry, within our lives. We have some systems which have kicked the Holy Spirit outside of the church, out of the ministry, out of our life. Even when He speaks to us, we don't listen. We don't have time for Him. And once the Spirit of God is out of your life and the church, then things won't work out well.
Right.
The third thing He told me that we should answer the Great Commission.
Amen.
The Great Commission. Jesus, after he was raised from the dead, He gave us a Great Commission, and that's the reason why we're here.
Right.
To tell somebody about Christ.
Right.
And that's what we are doing in Uganda. In Uganda, we have built up a team of 50 people in the church. And each person a month, it has to win a soul for Christ. Each person, at least a month. At least you must make sure that at least you bring one person to Christ a month. Now, as we have 50 people, every month at least each one wins one person to Christ. A month, that is 50. That means the devil has lost 50 people from his camp.
Yeah.
A month.
Yeah.
2 months, that is 100 people. Now that's what we have done. I've built it, even in some of our branches, to see that we answer the call of winning people back to Christ.
Right.
Some people they can spend even a month, even a year, 2 months without sharing with somebody about the love of Christ. We have people who are dying.
Right.
But we have not done what we are supposed to do.
Right.
Sometimes we accuse them. You know, those people, they are sinners. They don't want to, you know, what have you done? Have you gone and sat with them and tell them about the goodness of Christ? Now, instead of judging them, we better go for them.
Right.
We better go and talk to them. Now, those are three things which the Lord told me to come and share with you. Now, today I want to start up with building the altar. We are going to see the altars of God. We need to build altar. We need to build personal altar. We need to build family altar. Is that clear? You need to have your personal altar. You need to have family altars. When we have those family altars, then we shall be able to bring back God into our family and our lives. We are going to read in 2 Chronicles chapter 15. 2 Chronicles chapter 15 from verse 1.
Are you going to talk while I'm doing this?
Yeah, you know, yeah, sometimes we pray.
Yeah, I know. You go right ahead. Okay. And the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Hodad, and he went out to meet Asa, and said unto him, Hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin, the Lord is with you, while ye be with him. And if ye seek him, he will be found of you. But if ye forsake him, he will forsake you. Now for a long season, Israel hath been without the true God, and without a teaching priest, and without law. But when they, in their trouble, did turn unto the Lord God of Israel, and sought him, he was found of them. And in those times, there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in, but great vexation were upon all the inhabitants of the country. And nation was destroyed of nation, and city of city. For God did vex them with all adversity. Be ye strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. And when Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Hodad the prophet, he took courage and put away the abominable idols out of all land of Judah and Benjamin, and out of the cities which he had taken from Mount Ephraim, and renewed the altar of the Lord that was before the porch of the Lord. And he gathered all Judah and Benjamin, and the strangers with them, out of Ephraim and Manasseh, and out of Simeon, for they fell to him out of Israel in abundance, when they saw that the Lord his God was with him. So they gathered themselves together at Jerusalem in the third month, in the 15th year of the reign of Asa. And they offered unto the Lord the same tithe of the spoil which they had brought, 700 oxen and 7,000 sheep. And they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul. That whosoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel should be put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman. And they swear unto the Lord with a loud voice, and with shouting, and with trumpets, and with cornets. And all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart, and sought him with their whole desire, and he was found of them. And the Lord gave them rest round about. And also concerning Maacah, the mother of Asa the king, he had removed her from being queen, because she had made an idol in a grove. And Asa cut down her idol, and stamped it, and burnt it at the brook Kidron. But the high places were not taken away out of Israel. Nevertheless, the heart of Asa was perfect all his days. And he brought into the house of God the things that his father had dedicated, and that he himself had dedicated, silver and gold and vessels. And there was no more war until the 5th and 30th year of the reign of Asa.
God bless you. The Bible says here that then the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Obed, and went out to meet Asa, and sent to him, Hear ye, Asa, and Judah, and all Judah and Benjamin, the Lord is with you while you are with him. When you seek him, you'll find him. When you forsake him, he'll forsake you. The Bible goes on saying, now for a long season, Israel, they were without a true God. Mark that. The Bible does not say that they don't have God. The Bible said that they had God, but not the true God. Somebody, when you don't have the true God, the creator of heaven and earth, you must have another God. Because you cannot be there without a God. When you don't have our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are not committed to our Lord Jesus, if you are not committed to our God, then there's another God whom you are committed to. Now these people during that time, they had God, but not the true God, not the real God. That means they had their own God or a foreign God whom they used to worship, whom they used to follow. The Bible goes on saying that during that time they were without a teaching priest. The priest who can teach the truth of God. They had the priest who were there to excite them, to tell them what they want, not what God wants. They were without the laws during that time. Remember that this is the children of Israel. The Bible talks about the children of Israel. Chosen nation of God. God has chosen them, had separated them, special people to him. But although they were chosen by God, but they forsook their God and picked out another God and they start serving a fallen God. And the Bible says that if you are with me, I'll be with you. If you forsake me, I'll forsake you. Although they were a chosen nation of God, but they had forsaken God. Because they have forsaken God, even God forsook them. Right. Now, if that happened to the children of Israel also, it can happen to us. When we don't seek God, when we don't follow his ways, he can forsake us. The Bible goes on saying that, but in their trouble, they turned unto the Lord God of Israel, and they seek him, and he was found by them. Verse 5. In those times, there was no peace to him that went out, and neither to him who comes in. You hear? There was no peace to someone who was coming in, and those who were going out. Those who are staying into that nation and those who are coming out of that nation, they had no peace. I want just to bring something in your mind. If you read this chapter very carefully, and you compare what was going on within this chapter with what is going on within your nation, what do you see? When you see what was happening here, because the Bible says, those who were dwelling into that nation, they had no peace. They had no peace. Why? Because they had forsaken God. Right. When you compare it with what is going on within your nation, I know that all of you are aware of what is going on. But it's very bad. The Bible says here, that's verse 5, that when they were troubled, they turned unto God. I remember that day when they hit the United States in September 11. Even programs, television programs, the preachers on the radios, on the television, they had to cancel their programs so that they can bring all people that they are praying for America. We used to watch them during that time, September 11. Everybody came. The preachers stopped preaching. They put on their program that they are praying for America. Why do we need to wait until problems come? That's when we seek God. Right. That means we know what we are supposed to do, but we are rebellious. Thank you, man. We know that we are supposed to seek God, but we are rebellious. We don't want. Now, when problem comes, that's when we turn unto the Lord. Is that clear? You remember that? Yeah. Now, you see what is going on here. Since I came here, I've been passing two different places where you find houses which are empty. In Minra, I was asking people, why those houses, people are not there? That people, they have lost their houses because they cannot pay their houses. Now, I don't think that when somebody has lost his house, that he has peace. Do you think that he has peace? When somebody has lost his house, he's homeless, Do you think that he has got peace? Some, they have lost their jobs. They don't have jobs. Do you think that they have peace? Here the Bible says that even those who are into that nation, during that time, they had no peace. Now, when you see what's going on here, and you compare what was happening here, it's the same thing. People, they have lost their jobs, lost their houses, some of them, they cannot pay their bills, and you see, some houses are being heated. People are dying. We have to awake the church. We have, as Christians, to wake up that there's something wrong which is going on because we have been fellowshipping or worshipping a fallen God, not the real God. Because they were not worshipping the true God, God allowed all problems to come on their ways. Here the Bible goes on saying, that nation were destroyed, city to city. Now you see, states to states. Houses are being wiped out. People are dying. I know, you see them, you see what is going on your television, you know what is going on. If we in Africa, we can know what about you. You know what is going on. And I believe that this is beyond of human understanding. Although you have wise people, but this is beyond them. They don't know what is going on. The way how people are killed, the way how cities are being destroyed. When you see this, what happened in these days, and this is what is happening right now. Why? Because these people, they had lost the true God. Why all those things are going on right now? Because you have lost the true God. Yep. Even those who come in, the Bible said that even those who come in during those times, there was no peace to them. Look at us when we are coming in your nation here. When I was growing up in Uganda, they used to tell us that America is a Christian nation, secondly, is a land of freedom. But you cannot believe the way how they treat us on the airport. You have to remove your shoes, you have to remove your belt, they have to check you everywhere. Asking you different, difficult questions. As if you have stolen something. Now, those who are in United States, they don't have peace. And even those who are coming in, there's no peace. That's what the Bible says. Those who are in the nation, they are crying. Even those who are coming in, they have to cry. Those who are in the nations, they don't have peace. They don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. And even we were just come to visit you and see you also, we are tortured. Why? This is the situation which was in the Bible. Now that's why I'm here. To call upon each one of you. To see that we find ourselves, do we have the true God? How can we have the true God? How can we bring back our God into our lives? How can we bring back God into our families? How can we call upon God because of what is going on? These people, after realizing that they have a fallen God, after realizing there's something wrong which is going on, they did what? That's what we want to do. To see. Is that clear?
Yeah.
You know what is going on. Let me tell you, if people, they don't turn unto God, nobody will stop what is going on.
Right.
People who are going to stop it is people who calls upon their God. Unless, if not that, what is going on, nobody will stop it. The government cannot stop it. Nobody will stop it because this is beyond human understanding. Except God. But God has permitted it. Because they are far away from Him. Is that clear? Now, this man, what he did after hearing all the prophecies and God confirming him that he's going to be rewarded on what he's doing. Thus, let's read verse 9. 8. Can you repeat verse 8?
Yep. And when Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Oded the prophet, he took courage and put away the abominable idols out of all the land of Judah and Benjamin, and out of the cities which he had taken from Mount Ephraim, and renewed the altar of the Lord that was before the porch of the Lord.
God bless you. Now, Asa, when he heard those words, the words of the prophet, the words which were coming from God, then he, the Bible said that he went and removed all the idols, and he renewed the altar of the Lord. After hearing all those words, after hearing what God was saying, then he went and removed all the altar, all the idols, and he renewed the altar of God. Why all those things were happening? Because the altar of God was destroyed, was broken. Remember, even in the days, in the days of Elijah, can you turn with me in First King chapter 18? We are reading start verse 30. Mm-hmm. 30.
Mm-hmm. And Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him, and he prepared for the altar of the Lord that was broken down.
You hear? And Elijah called on all the people near unto him. And he restored, he renewed the altar of the Lord that was broken. Remember, even the days of Elijah, the children of Israel, they had gone away from God. They started worshipping fallen God, started following the prophet of Baal. That's why even Elijah decided to ask God to stop rain for 3 years and 6 months. But although there was no rain, but people, they went on going astray. Then until one day, Elijah had to meet the king. Then he called all the false prophets together. Then he told them to give a sacrifice. Remember, when you read from verse 6, you find that even these people, prophets, prophet Baal, they had also their altar. They had also their altar. Now, here the Bible said that Elijah, what he had to do was to renew the altar of the Lord which was broken. That means the altar of the Lord was broken, but the altar of the foreign prophets were not broken. And they did not need to renew it because it was active. They used to give a sacrifice on it. Now, Elijah had to renew first of all the altar of God. The Bible said that he renewed, he restored the altar of God. Then after restoring the altar of God, that's when he managed to give the sacrifice on the altar of God. Then he started calling up God back to people. And when he called upon God, the Bible said that God answered with fire. Now, what are we supposed to do? We need to build the altars of God within our life, within our family. Not only that, we need to destroy the altars of the devil. Because where there's an altar of God, also the devil has to build up his own altar. When you don't build the altar of God, the devil has to build his own altar. Now, you need to destroy the altar of the devil so that you can build the altar of God. And the altar of God, without the altar of God, we are separated from God. God is very far away from us. We have seen in the days of Elijah that God was very far away from people because the altar was destroyed. The altar was broken. If the altar is broken, that means these people, they don't communicate with their God anymore. If the altar is broken, that means they don't give a sacrifice to their God anymore because the altar is broken. When they don't give when the altar is destroyed, that means they don't have any fellowship with God because the altar is gone. Is that clear? Now, when we need to call back God, we need to build again the altars so that we can give sacrifice and other things as we are going to see on the altar. Is that clear? Now, when Elijah called the fire, that's when we saw that even people, they came to God and started worshiping and said that God, the Lord is God. After seeing, after altar being renewed. Some people, you find some people outside there, they don't want even to come in the church. They don't want even to hear the name of the church. Some of them, they are saying that the church are boring. And the Bible says that when they told me that let's go into the house of the Lord, I rejoiced. Now these days people are saying the church is boring. Why is boring? There's something which is missing within the church. There's something which is missing within our lives. That's why people are saying the church is boring. They rather sit on their television than coming in the church. They rather go to parties than coming in the church. Then we need to find out what is missing. Why people, they don't want to come in the church? Why are they saying that the church is boring? There's something which is missing. Now, the Bible said that Elijah renewed the altar. We have seen even after he renewed the altar. First of all, what is the altar? Number one, the altar is a place of communication. That is the place where we communicate with our God. In marriage, when two of you lose communication, that is the end of that marriage. I think you agree with me.
Yeah. Yeah.
When the husband and the wife, they cannot sit down and communicate. Once they cannot communicate, that marriage, it has to be destroyed. What keeps the marriage is communication. When you communicate, then you'll be able to keep the marriage. Now, you to keep a fellowship with God, communication is number one. To communicate with your God. Now, when you don't have any time of communicating with your God, you will communicate with something else.
Yeah.
Now, we have a lot of people in your nation, in your house, in your life, you don't have communication with God. That means you don't have an altar. You don't communicate. You don't have that time of communication. You have time of communicating with other people. You have your cell phones. Why do you have them? To communicate. You want to keep in touch with somebody. That means you can keep in touch with somebody because of communication.
Yeah.
Now, when you lose that communication, then you never keep in touch with that person. Now, even God, He wants us to keep in touch with Him. But how are we keeping in touch with Him? Through communication.
Right.
Now, you have to build up your personal altar, your personal communication. Don't leave the house because you are going to work without communicating with your God.
Right.
But most of you, they just grab their things, their cars, and sure they go. They don't have time of communicating with their God. That means they are very far away with God if you cannot have even 30 minutes to communicate to your Creator, the one who created you, the one who takes care of you, the one whom you think that He has to bless you, and you don't have any time to communicate with Him. Now, God is calling us to build personal communication, personal altar. Don't leave the home before you call upon God. Don't leave home before you communicate with your God, because God wants to hear your voice. God wants to communicate with you.
Right.
Most of you have children. I don't think that you can be settled and thank God because of your children when they just come in the house, they grab food and they eat and they enter their bed. You don't communicate with them. They don't talk to you. You know, they just eat, enter the bed. In the morning, they go. They don't say hi. Even you want to talk to them, they don't give you time. They don't need to hear from you. Can you go in the church and say, "Oh Lord, I thank you because of my children"? You will never settle. You will never have peace. Why? Your children, they don't communicate to you. Now, even our God is a father. We are His sons. We are His daughter. He wants to communicate with us. He wants to hear from us. But what amazes Him is to wake up in the morning, we grab what we can grab, we eat, and we go. We don't have time for Him. From Monday to Monday, Sunday to Sunday, Then you come in service. Oh, I thank God, I praise God. You praise him, whom, the person whom you have been not communicating to. No communication. The devil knows that. That once you lose the communication with God, everything is gone. He knows that when you keep communication with God, you will maintain everything. Now, the devil has done everything to see that he destroys the communication within the lives of people in this nation. He has done everything. Even children at home, when they don't communicate with their dad, separation. Communication keeps them together. Communication maintains the family. Communication maintains your communication, your relationship with God. When that is gone, everything is gone. Now, God is calling you to build up again communication. I wouldn't be here if I did not communicate. Is that clear? I wouldn't be here if I did not communicate. If I had just picked my bag and I just come, they see me on the door. Poo, 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 poo. What's wrong with you? You have been not communicating. Now here you are. Communication. It's very important. It's very bad. You to say that I'm going in heaven. Here all of us will have to go in heaven. But you don't communicate even with the owner of the heaven. Huh? Does it make sense? How can you come? How can I come in your house? I've never communicated with you. You have never seen me. No communication. Then I come at your house. Go, 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 go. I want to stay with you. Can you allow me? You cannot. Now we are saying, we are going in heaven. We are going to our God. But we don't communicate with the owner of the heaven. You don't have time with him. You communicate with other things. You have your wonderful programs on television which you cannot miss. You have to communicate with it every day. You rather lose the service than losing the program. You rather go late in the bed than losing the program. You don't allow even anybody to disturb you because you have your program which you have to watch. You watch it up late at night, then you go in the bed very late because you want to communicate with your program. All the time you communicate with your television. You have something which you communicate with. Anything which grabs your time more than God becomes your God. And anything which grabs your time more than God, that is the devil's altar. The devil has turned into your television an altar. There's some programs which you watch, which you shouldn't watch. But they have eaten, grabbed your mind, your life. You live it, you sleep it, you talk it, you know. Because you have to communicate with that. Now God is calling us back. So that we can have communication. Now altar is the place of communication. Do everything to see that you communicate with your God. Have time of prayer before you go out. Have time of prayer when you before you go into your bed. Communicate with him. The Bible says, we shall see that in Deuteronomy. He said that when you are seated at home, speak about the word of God. Teach it to your children. What are you teaching your children? What are you thinking about when you are sitting at home? You are on busy on your cartoons and other things, you know. There's a set, I think that was 2009 when I was here. There's a certain church where I went. Everybody was busy with their newspaper, novels. That's what they came with in the Bible, in the church. Coming in the church, get me well. All of us, we have to come in the church. We have to have a church. We have to be in the church. But you can come in the church when the church is not in you. Coming in the church does not make you to be what you're supposed to be. Is that clear? it's good we have to come in the church. But some people, they think that when you go in the church, then that's when you are going to be what you are supposed to be. That's a lie. Being what you are supposed to be begins at home.
Right.
You with your God.
Right.
In Uganda, we have a saying that spending nights in Tugalad, you never become a car. When you have a car, when you need a car, you say, let me go and spend the nights in the garage so that I can become a car. You being in the garage, you can stay there for 2 years, 3 years, but you'll never become a car. Now, you to become what you're supposed to become is your communication with your God. Other people, they have a mentality that pastors, they are the only people who are supposed to have strong fellowship with their God. That is a lie.
Right.
All of us, once you are a child of God, once you are born again, you must have your personal communication with your God.
Right.
I cannot communicate for you. I cannot communicate for you on your behalf. No way. It is you who is supposed to communicate with your God. I'm a pastor to guide you, but not to communicate on your behalf. I'm a pastor to give you the word which God has given me, so that you can communicate, you can have a better communication with God. But even some preachers, they have done a mistake. Instead of teaching people to communicate with their God, they pull their attention on them. Then people, they think that as a pastor, they're only people who are supposed to communicate to on their behalf to God. No way. We need to build up our altar, the place of communication in your life, personal altar. Is that clear?
Right.
Secondly, the altar is the place of relationship, fellowship. It's the place of relationship. The place of fellowship, that is the altar. The reason, excuse me, most of people, they say that the reason why God created a man is to worship him. You might be right, but this is what I think, that why God created a man. He wanted to have a fellowship with a man. That's what he wanted. He created Adam and positioned him in a garden. And he used to come and visit him. He used to come and fellowship with him. Although he had angels in heaven, but the angels were his servants. He did not want to fellowship with his servants. He wanted to have a fellowship with a man. That's why he had to come in garden to find his friend, so that they can have fellowship. That is the reason why God created a man, to have fellowship with him. That day when he came and found Adam was not in the place, he asked God, he said, calling, Adam, Adam, where are you? Adam, Adam, where are you? Then Adam said, oh, we heard your voice and we hide ourselves from the garden. We hide ourselves within the trees. In other words, they changed the position of communication. They changed the position of fellowship. They changed the position of God's presence. God wanted, why he created a man is to have fellowship. Now hear me. The devil has done everything to destroy the fellowship of a man with God.
Right.
Some people, they think that, yeah, God created a man to worship him. That's true, but let me tell you, you cannot worship God when it's very far away from you. You cannot worship God when you don't have any fellowship with him. You cannot worship God when you don't have time to communicate with him. Yeah, you can sing. You can raise up your hands. It's very easy to worship God in your mind, but not from your heart. People who have got fellowship with God, they worship God in spirit and truth. That means they worship God with their heart, with their spirit, not within their mind. Now, somebody to worship God in spirit, she must have fellowship with God. Now, we need to build an altar or a place of fellowship. Having fellowship with your God. What strengthens your fellowship is the communication. And God knows that at this time, my son or my daughter, he is with me. He is communicating with me. You have fellowship with God. Now God is calling us back to see that we can build up altars, place of communication, place of fellowshipping. He wants to fellowship with you. He wants to have out of fellowshipping, then we have friendship. Right. When you fellowship with God, the more you fellowship with God, you become His friend. Remember Jesus said in John when He was teaching, He said, no, I no longer call you servants, but my friends. Because of the time and the fellowship which He has been with them. For 3 years, He was with them, eating with them, walking with them, you know, talking with them, seeing what He was doing. He had a fellowship with them. Then He said, no, you are no longer servants, but you are my friends. Yep. Remember what God told Abraham when He was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. He told Abraham that you are my friend. I cannot hide anything which I'm going to do. Then He started telling Abraham what He's going to do. God wants us to have fellowship, to reach on the level of being a friend. God wants to be your friend. It's very easy to be a pastor of the church, but when you are not friendly with the people. You can pastor people, but when you are not friendly to them. They come in the church, you preach after preaching, you don't hug them, you don't greet them, you just go. Yeah, they come in the church, they know that this is our church, but our pastor, nobody can shake his hand. Dear, you are their pastor, but they're not friend to you. You can have children at home. You are their dad, but they are not friend to you. I'm making sense. Yeah, you can have your children, but when they are not friend. Me, I had my dad, but we were not friend. He was my father, but he was not my friend. He could come back at night and start asking me questions, pulling me out of my bed. She has come back late. Sit down. Why don't you read your notes? He does not read even any Bible. He does not read even any book. Now he's telling me to read the book, read my notes. I wait for him for 20 minutes, 30 minutes. He's in his bed, so I go back. He was my dad, but he was not a friend. You can have children, but when they're not your friend. God does not want us to call Him our dad, our father, when He's not a friend to us. He wants us to be a friend. Right. Now, you to become His friend is the fellowship. The time which you spend with Him. The time which you spend with Him. The time which you take with Him. It will determine the level of your operation with Him. Which time? What consumes your time most? You find that all the day you don't have even 10 minutes, even 20 minutes, even 30 minutes for God. But you have got other hours and hours into other things. You visit your friend to friend, house to house. You communicate, you take hours talking on phone. But are you having it? You know? Is that clear? We need to have a fellowship. The devil has destroyed the fellowship. That's what is going on in your nation here. God is calling upon you. He is calling upon your nation. And I'm here to call upon you. Go back and build up altars, personal altars, the place of communication. Have time with your God. Have fellowship with your God. He needs your fellowship. The devil has cheated that because he knows when somebody has a fellowship with God, what could happen? He knows because once he was there, once he had a fellowship with God, he used to communicate with God, he used to serve Him. He knows. He knows how you can touch the heart of God when you have fellowship with Him. He knows that. And he knows that once I destroy their fellowship, then I know I'll have a upper hand over them. They won't make it. Why? Because they don't have any fellowship with God. Now she has done everything to destroy the fellowship. And she has given you a lot of things to have fellowship with. Recently I was in Maryland. There's a certain house where I was sleeping. People, they have games which I have never even seen. I have never seen those games. They have a lot of games. I find that every group, young one, 10 to 20, 10 to 18, they have their side where they have their games. Another 10, 20 to 30 or so, they had their games. Even the parents, they were busy with their games. They were busy. They took hours on those games. When we went on Sunday, the pastor told me that you have do what the Spirit of God tells you to do. This is a Baptist church. But he told me that do what the Spirit of God tells you to do. Don't mind about people, because sometimes people, they walk out because of time. Yeah, I was amazed. After pastor telling me that, I remember that these people, they spend hours on those games. Hours. Now in the church, they want to be there 30 minutes and they go. They have parties. You see what the devil has done? She has destroyed the fellowship of a man with God, and she has connected him to other things whereby they can spend time with those things, with those movies, with those games, rather than spending time with God. And those movies are there to destroy them. Those the altars of the devil, which the devil has put into your houses. Some he has caused you to buy them. You use your money buying the altars of the devil, and you put it in your home, then it grabs your time. You don't have time reading the Bible, you have time of watching those games. It's not bad to have your television, get me well. It's not bad to have your television, but you have to be very careful that can turn into the altars of the devil. Whereby they don't have your time of reading the Bible. Some people, they come in the church, that's where they read the Bible. When they go back home, they don't read the Bible. They don't have time for that. God is calling us back to build up altars, a place of fellowship. All of us here, we must have personal fellowship with our God. You must have personal fellowship with your God. Because God wants that. That's the reason why we are created. God wants to have a fellowship. Let's stop off jumping, you know, and we forget there is some point where we need to have time with our God. Most of you have your friends. There's time where you need to have time with your friends. Now, if you have time to have time with your friends, what of God? Today, God is calling you. That's what this nation needs, is to go back. It's to go back to build our personal altars. Now, after building the personal altars, we need to build also the family altars. Yep. The family altars. The family communication. Don't allow your children or anybody in your house to enter into their beds without having time to communicate with their God. Do you know why most of your kids are rebellious? Because you have given them everything minus God. You have given time to communicate with other things minus communicating with God. You have given them all the games, everything. They have time to communicate with it. They have time, they enjoy it, but they don't have time to communicate with their Creator. After seeing all those games, they enter into their bed. After seeing everything, they enter into their bed. Each room, each bedroom, it has its own television there. Now you don't even have time as a family to eat together. Are you getting me? You don't have that time. Some homes, they don't have that time that as the family they can sit together and they eat together. In Uganda, our forefathers, during that time they had no televisions and other things. But what they used to do was to go outside in the compound and they set up a fire. Now they call all their children, mom and dad, and they sit around the fire. Then the dad will bring up a story. Then start telling his kids about that story. Then the children, they start questioning dad and mom. Mom, they start replying the answering their questions. Answering their questions. After everything, then they have time of prayer on the fire. They have to make sure that at least they get time of as a family to come together. As a family, at least the parents to communicate to their children. If the children they have any question, at least they could ask their parents the questions, so that the parents they could answer those questions. Then after that they pray together. If not, sometimes even they eat their dinner on that fire. Why they were doing that? To see that they can have that fellowship with the family. Have that fellowship of praying with their children. Telling God that although we have done everything, but God is the one who has provided everything. Therefore, we depend on God. You need to trust in God. You need to fear God. You know? But these days, in your nation here, every kid, he has his own way of doing things. He comes back home after eating somewhere. Do you need food? No. If he wants food, he just go into the fridge and pick what he wants. He picks what he wants in our bedroom. No time for communicating as a family. No time of praying as a family. Now God is calling us to do that. Let's take back God in our home. Amen. Let's pull God from church and put him in our home. Let's come from our home into the church with our God. Let's go back from the church with our God. Let us walk with our God, sleep with our God, talk with our God. We go to the place of work with our God. Let's drive the car with our God. Let's have fellowship with our God in every place where we are. That's what God wants. Amen. But you cannot do that until you build up your personal fellowship, personal altar, family altar. Whereby that all people they can come and have on that altar and start communicating with their God. He created us for that. He wants us for that. On that family altar, that's when we can even pray for our neighbors. You find some people, there's a certain man. He came from California. Is it California somewhere? No. He came in Uganda and he preached about love. And he preached about love. That you have to love your neighbor. You have to mind about your neighbor. But one of the pastors who invited him in Uganda, then that man also invited that pastor in his church. And he was living at his home. This pastor was amazed. The man who came and teach us that we should love our neighbors, taking care of our neighbors, even if on the point, he was even weeping because we need to take care of our neighbors. When this pastor came and starts staying at his home, he does not mind about his neighbors. He mind about himself. He does not care about the neighbors. Then this pastor said, no, this guy came and told us that we have to mind our neighbors. He does not care about his neighbors. He does not mind about his neighbors. And he came and told us that we have to mind about our neighbors. You see? Now, on the altar, that is the place where we can start praying for our neighbors. Because if you love your God, the Bible says, how can you say that you love your God and you, the one whom you have never seen, and you hate your friend, your fellow brother, whom you see? How can you say that you love your God and don't mind about your neighbors? How are you going to, you can say that, Pastor, you know this is America, you cannot go into the house of somebody. I know that. But we are having the same Bible. The Bible which we use in America, in Africa, is the same Bible which we are using here. Now, if God tells us in Africa that we have to mind about our neighbors, also God tells you so. Now, if you cannot go into their homes, if you cannot greet them, you can bring them on the altar. The place of communication. You start interceding for them. Praying for them. If you cannot go there, God can go there. If you cannot go there, God can make a way for you to witness to them. But most of the people, they mind about themselves. Me, me, my thing. Me, 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 me. That is a bad spirit. It's ungodly. Let's go back and build our altar. Personal altar, family altar. The place of communication. Let even your children know that they have to communicate to their God. Let even their children know that they have to have a fellowship with God. Let them know that without God they cannot make it. Let them know that they have to depend on God, not on their money, not on their riches, not on their wisdom, not on anything. But they know that we depend on God. Without God, we cannot be there. Without God, we cannot make it. Let's go back. And we invite God in our homes. Call upon God in your home. Call upon God in your personal life. Because God needs your fellowship. Needs your fellowship. He needs to communicate with you. He wants you to be his friend. You cannot be my friend until we have a good relationship. You cannot be my friend until we have a good communication. The more we communicate, the more we become closer. The more we communicate, the more we become closer. The more we communicate, the more our fellowship becomes stronger. Is that clear? Now, when you welcome God on your altar, or in your personal communication, when God comes down, before he changes anybody, he has to change you first of all. You hear some people saying, God, change me. I want you to change me. Yeah, God is ready to do that. But he will never change you when he is far, far away from you. Is that clear? He will never change you when he's very far away. God, change me, change me. No. He wants to come closer to you. When he comes closer to you, then we start changing your life. That's why we find people, they come in the church, they go out as they came. People, they come in the church, they go out as they came. That's why they are saying that the church is boring. There's a certain woman in Uganda. This woman, she's blessed. She has everything. She has cars, houses. She has been traveling in almost every nation. She grew up in a Catholic family. Now one day, although he grew up in a Catholic family, her father is the one who gave a piece of land where they put the church, and he was one of the elders within the church, her father. And this daughter, she was among the choir, among one of the choirs within the church. Now he grew up in Catholic, he knew what he was doing. But inside, as he was growing, inside herself, she felt that there's something which is missing. Although she was serving God, but something was missing within her. She had the money, she can drive all the type of car she needs, but something was missing within her. Then he started finding out how he can fulfill what is missing within her. Then one day he said, no, let me visit one of born-again churches. Maybe I'll get what I want. Now, she went into one of the church, the preacher came and started preaching. God is going to bless you. God is prospering you. God is giving you cars. God is giving you houses. they finished the service. Then this woman went back and said, okay, it seems everybody who is born again is poor. Because that's what the preacher has been preaching. But me, I have everything. If he talks about God giving me car, I have more than one. Giving me house, I have more than house, one houses. I keep flying, I've traveled everywhere. I think I'll never go back there. She waited for 1 month, but inside her, something was missing. And he couldn't settle. She couldn't settle. He wanted to look for what is missing. Then one day, after 2 months, she went into another church. The preacher came with the same message. God is blessing you. God is prospering you. God is giving you visa. Blah, blah, blah. She walked out. When she's not content, and said, oh, born again, that's how they are. I will never go back to their churches. Then the woman waited for another 1 year. But inside her, she was not feeling okay because she felt there was something missing. But as they were, he was coming closer to the Christmas, she decided to go back into her village to eat the Christmas with her parents. Then he bought things. On 23rd, he went in the village. Now, on Christmas, as the parents were organizing themselves to see that they go into Catholic Church, also she organized herself and asked the father if there's any born-again church around here. Then the father became crazy. How can you know I'm a Catholic, I'm the one who gave even that land, everybody knows me, and you know, everyone knows you, how can you go into those churches? They are crazy, why are you going there? You want to join them? Then the girl told the father, no. Going there does not mean that I'm going to join them. But I want to fellowship with them. How can you go and fellowship with those people? Don't go there. The girl told the father that if I'm not going there, also I will not go to the Catholic Church. I'm going to stay here at home. I'll wait for you when you come back. Then we eat and I go back in Kampala. Then the father decided to direct her into a certain small church somewhere. Then the woman went. He decided not even to drive. He walked when he walked. And he went into the church. He found them praising God, smaller church. She entered. They praised God. Then the preacher came. When the preacher came, he preached the word. The word which touched the woman. The woman who entered into tears. When the preacher called people who gave their life to Christ, she was one of them. She gave her life to Christ and told the pastor, this is what I have been looking for. This is what I have been looking for. Then he told the pastor, from today, this is my church. Although I'm living in Kampala, 45 miles, I'll be driving every Sunday and Bible study to come here. This is my church. Then he asked the pastor if that land belongs to them, belongs to the church. The pastor said, I gave it to the church. Now the woman told the pastor, give me the plan of the church. Because during that time, the church was small, roofed by grasses. Give me the plan of the church. The pastor had no one. Then the woman told the pastor, can you allow me and I can make a plan for the church and we start building it. The woman went, make a plan for the church. She came, he bought bricks and everything. He put down this small church, he put up another church, roofed it with the irons. He did everything in the church and he bought the chairs within the church. Then from that day, that is her church. Why? Because she was missing with something. That is the place where she got something which is needed. Now, that's what we have to look for. She wanted the fellowship with God. He had everything, but he was missing the fellowship. He had everything. He had money, he had everything, but she was missing the fellowship. It's very important to put aside everything which you think that you have, and you have the fellowship. It's very bad you to have everything which you have, and you miss the fellowship of God. Right. It's very important to have the fellowship. Now let's go back the God in our home. When he comes, he'll transform us. No pastor can change someone. No a prophet or an apostle who can change someone. God, he changes people. But he cannot change people without a fellowship.
Right.
Through the fellowship, he changes you. Through the fellowship, he transforms your children. Through the fellowship, he transforms your future. Through the fellowship which you have with them, with him, he will transform you. That's what we need in our days. If you want to stop what is going on within your nation, that's one of the things which you need. We need to go back to have fellowship. We need to go back and build up fellowship with God. This is not something which you are going to build within one day. It takes time. It's you to discipline yourself. And say that in my schedule, I'm busy, but I must have time for God.
Right.
It's you to discipline yourself. It's you to determine and say, no, I'm going to do this. In the days of us, as we have seen, the Bible said that when he restored the altar, then even the people saw that God was with him. Then people, they were drawn to him because God was with him.
Right.
Is that clear? Now, when we restore our altars, our place of communication, our place of fellowship, then people, they will realize that God is with us.
Yeah.
Then people, they are going to be drawn back to God because they see that God is with us. But you hear some people, they're asking us, even where is our God? You cannot prove him because even you are not transformed. You don't have time with God. You behave like them. How are they going to believe in your God when they don't see any change within your life? When they don't see any change within your family? When they don't see any change within your children? And now you are telling them God is there. Where? They need to see him. They will never see him until you have fellowship with him. Until you communicate with him. That's why I value my time of communicating with my God. Even at my home, that's what I do. Recently, I was a certain pastor. That pastor asked me that that's the way how you contact your life. How you do your things when you are on the mission. When you are going to preach, you don't come out of your bedroom. I told him, you are not only here, even at home. When I have to have time with my God, I have to have time with fellowship with him. Is that clear? Now, if this is something to discipline yourself, start disciplining yourself. In your busy schedule, have time for God. Is that clear? Discipline yourself that before I enter into my bed, let me have time to call upon my God. Discipline yourself to see that at least before all of you, either before you enter into your bed, have time. Share the word of God. After sharing the word of God, join your hands with your children. Lead them into prayer. You as a man, the head of the house, lead your family into prayer. You cannot not tell your children. You have to pray when you don't pray. They have to see you. As the man, as the head, as the father of the house, get a hand together with your children. Then lead them into prayer. Let them hear what you are speaking. Speak clear things, clear words. Let them hear them. Because out of them, then also they will know how to communicate with their God. But don't just join your hands and say, okay, God, you know we are here. Yeah, he knows you are there. What's next? You know, God, we are here. We have joined up our hands here. We are here, God. We are going to sleep now, God. No. Put things clear. Let your children hear it. How you are communicating to your God. Then they will learn from there. Hear what the Bible says as I'm finishing up. In Samuel chapter 44.
Psalm 44 verse 1. We have heard with our ears, O God. Our fathers have told us what work thou didst in their days and the times of old.
Stop there. You hear?
Here the Bible says that we have heard with our ears. What we have heard with our ears, oh God. Our forefathers have told us what you did. That means their forefather, they used to gather their entire family. Then they start telling them what God did in their days. The miracles. The way how he answered their program, their prayers. The way how he fought on their behalf. They used to have that time. I don't think that they used to tell them on the street. Do you think that they were discussing that on the street? No. At home, they gather all their children and tell them, let us tell you, our children, this is what our God did. He brought us from Egypt. He performed this and 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 this. Then they knew that. They heard that. Now the time when they reach in the time of problem, they reminded God and told God, God, we heard with our ears. Oh God, our forefather told us the miracles, how what you did, the great work which performed, our God. Now, let me ask this generation, what are your children? What are they going to say about you? I'm asking, what are they going to say about you? What are they going to tell their four children? If you don't have that altar where you tell your children about God, what are you going to tell them? And what are they going to tell their parents, their children? Instead, they will talk about how dad loved us and gave us all the games, this and this and cartoons and that. That's the only thing they will tell them. You know, our dad was so good and our mom was so good. He used to buy us cartoons everywhere. Now they will talk about cartoons, but they will never talk about what you have never told them about their God. Now, how are they going to trust your God? How are they? My daughter, the school where she goes, they call her pastor. Why? Because always at home he knows that dad, he gets time to communicate with God, he pray. She cannot go at school without coming in my bed and calls me, dad, let's pray for me before I go to school. Then we join hands and I pray with her. Then they take her to the school. When he comes back after he's had dinner and reading her books, he has to call us. I want to enter into my bed. Can we pray? Now, that's what he does at school. He gathers all his fellow students and leads them into prayer. Amen. If anyone among them is sick, because he sees me at the church laying my hands on people, also he goes to them and starts laying her hands on them. Because that's what she's seeing, what I'm doing. That's what he's seeing. She's in a Sunday school. He's one of the leaders of the Sunday school singing songs. Even if I'm going somewhere to minister somewhere and I tell her that, can you escort me and you go with me, when he knows that on Sunday he's supposed to be in the church leading something, he tells me that I'm not going because I have to minister in the Sunday school. I have the song which I'm going to read. He does not go with me unless he does not have anything which is to do in the church. But once he has something to do, he will never. He has to stay at the church. Now, she has seen what I'm doing. She has seen what I'm teaching her. Then, she has grabbed it. What does your children grab out of you? What? Yeah, they can call you good dad. That's good. It's good to be a good dad. They can call you good mom. That's good. But if you cannot introduce your kids to your God, then... I understand what I'm saying. if you cannot, you are good dad, but if you cannot introduce them, if you cannot tell them about God, if you cannot tell them the goodness of God, if you cannot lead them to God, then I'm not sure if really you are good dad. I'm not sure. If you cannot lead them to God, because that's the only the best gift which you can give to your children. That's the only best gift which you can give to your children. Let them grow up knowing about their God. Let them grow up knowing the fellowship with their God, having a fellowship with their God. Then they are going to be blessed all the days of their life. They are going to be protected by God. They are going to trust in God. But if you don't do that, then you are killing your children. Church, let's go back and build the altar. Let's go back and rebuild personal altar. Let's go back. We need that at home, in homes. Now you see this in your nation here. They don't allow to talk about God in schools. The devil has built his altar in schools. Muslims, they can do talk about their God, but you don't talk about Jesus. Now imagine, in schools there's the devil's altar. At home, we don't have an altar for God. If you cannot talk about God in the school, I can talk about God in my home. Yeah. What I do is to wait them. Let them go to the school. They don't allow them to talk about my God. At home, I'll talk about my God. I'll plant a seed of God within my home. Yeah. But now if they don't allow them to talk about their God, and even at home, there's no any altar, there's no that time, how are your children going to be? What is the future of your nation? What is the future of your nation? Then we need to go back. Is that clear? We are still going on with the altar. Even tomorrow we are there. We need to dig it. And I'm requesting you. It's going to be my joy. And always it is my joy. If I spend my time teaching something and people they do it. Right. That's my joy. It's not my joy to come and see you seated, watching me, seeing me. Then I go back and you don't do what the Bible tells you. I don't believe that what I have taught you is not biblical, it's not good. That's what we need. We need to have that fellowship. We need it. Now we need to do it. Go and start doing it. I thank God because now I have emails since I started preaching somewhere. People, they are emailing me that God is dealing with them since they started doing that. There's a certain man, a certain couple, after sharing it the following night, they went and they started doing it, calling upon their children. Then God started pointing out the certain thing which they have to deal with. He came back in the church, he repented. Amen. He called, grabbed the microphone and told, "Pastor, give me time." Then he repented. And he told us that this and this and this word the Lord told me when we went on to the altar. As we start communicating, calling upon God, then God told me, deal with this, deal with this, deal with this. Now he repented and started working on it. Recently he emailed me and told me that, "Pastor, I have never felt the way how I felt since I started the altar. I feel that God is working on me, God is with me." Is that clear? Another one, he emailed me and told me that, "Pastor, you talked about the altars of the devil in the city." Then he told me that there's a place of work which I'm working. We have almost 8 televisions and some computers. He told me that people, they could come. Some of them just watching television for hours. Some, they can be on a computer for 8 hours. He told me that until you taught about the altars of the devil in the city, in our homes, that's when God revealed, opened up my eyes to see that even those are altars of the devil. Yeah. People, they spend hours. Some, they have lost even their marriages because of television, because of their own computer pornography. That's what they are watching. That's the trick of the devil. That's when this brother also realized that this was the altar. Because also sometimes he could leave where his place of work and start watching for hours. Now this is when God opens up his eyes. And he went and told one of the guys that, do you know that that is the altar of the devil? Then he started talking with him. The man realized and he believed it and said that I always come here. But you see what I'm watching. Just pornography. He lost a half marriage because of that. He's captured because of that. You may imagine leaving his home, coming sit for 12 hours, watching that. Those are altars grabbing your home, grabbing your life. You spend your time with such things instead of spending time with God. Now, in every busy schedule, let's have time for God. Anything, as we shall see tomorrow, anything which consumes your time than God, that's the altar. Anything which does not make you what God wants you to be, you have to be very careful. Even some friends. There's some friends who are there to destroy you. There's some friends which the devil brings just to disorganize you, to put you in hell. You have also even to watch your friends. Which type of friends? In Uganda we have a saying that tell me the people whom you hang with, then I'll tell you your behavior. Yeah. I don't need you to tell me your behavior, but the people whom you are hanging with, your friends, once you mention about them and I know them, then I'll know what you are to. Because when you are not dealing with the drugs, you cannot hang up with people of drugs. That means also you are doing the same thing. If you hang up with the killers, murderers, that's what you are. Is that clear? Now, all the things we are going to see it, even your friends, the friends which you hang up with, that can be also the devil's altar to destroy you. Is that clear? God bless you. I love you. We meet tomorrow.
So what did God say to you? What did God open your eyes to? Anybody? What did God open your eyes to? Anything? Yep.
Sports takes up way too much of my time. I'm a nut for sports, and you know that involves a computer as well. So, you know, obviously finding out what other God is in my life and want to get that taken away. So,
Jesus says in I believe it's Proverbs 23:6, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he.
When we get caught up into other things other than God, then that's the distractions that we look upon. And even when we're not even thinking about them, they're distracting us. And that still keeps us away from Him. And that's what I'm seeing, is too much distractions going on and around in our lives. And not no more. We got to change.
I learned that I have some altars to build. Personal and family. I watch my wife doing many of the things that Pastor Steve taught us tonight, but I haven't been doing them. I've just been watching them. So I need to step up and start building my own and invite our family into it.
You know, he said, there's nothing wrong with the TV. The way I heard a preacher say it was, there's nothing wrong with owning the TV. There's a problem with the TV owning you. And years ago, I'm loving Jesus, getting in church, going, you know, just loving Jesus. And we'd be the last ones. What? We'd be the last ones. Yeah, I know. But I don't, whatever. Anyway, we'd be the last ones out of church. You know, so you used to always say, why don't we have the key to lock up? We're always the last ones out. Said, you won't leave till the last person leaves. But then when we got home on Sunday, I would turn on the football, and I would sit there, you know, all afternoon. When the kids would get in the way, I'd yell at them, "Be quiet!" You know, good communication. And then when it was time for night church, I'm watching the football game, and I'm telling Sue, "Get all the kids out in the car. Get all the kids." She's going, "Come on, aren't we going?" I go, yep. "Everybody out in the car. Out in the car. Come on, are they all gone? Are they all gone?" I'm trying to catch the last play because we didn't have VCRs or whatever you call that stuff. We didn't have all that, you know. And one day, God started getting a hold of me. And because I must have heard of Steve preached back then. I don't remember, but anyway. And God got a hold of me about what's most important. What he said to me was, what's more important? Your family, your kids, or you watching the football? And there's nothing wrong, but it's like I told somebody the other day when they came up here and repented, and I said, what is God telling you? Is God telling you to cut back on that thing, or is God telling you to cut it off? And they said, oh no, God's telling me to cut it off. And I said, what God has done with me in my life, like with the football, I didn't watch football for about 20 years. And it was like, I just wanted Jesus. And it's not that I was giving it up, it's that I didn't want it more than Jesus. And I didn't want it more than my kids. There's nothing wrong with it, but we can't control sin. And when it's got a controlling you, we try to control it. And I'll try to do less or whatever. It doesn't usually work that way. We cut it off. We get our life in order and get strong. And then God, at a time, says you could have it back. But then you do it in moderation. You do it in balance. And like I won't even watch football all season. And I'll watch the playoffs or things like that. But it's like I won't even watch a game during the thing. And I don't even care if I miss the playoffs or whatever. You know what I'm saying? It's like God had to get it out of me so it wasn't my God. Because it's just like what he said. I don't remember how he worded it. I know how I would say it, but I'd rather word it the way he said it. Whatever. Anything that grabs your time more than God becomes your God. Anything that grabs your time more than God becomes your God. I just heard something earlier tonight before the message. I just want to comment on it because to me it goes along with this. My wife was saying, she mentioned two people, and she said, "Harvey, you, I don't know what the word was, but she said that, oh, I know who the two were." It says, "Harvey, these two people said to me, you make me feel dumb. Or Harvey makes me feel dumb when I'm around him." And I said, "Why?" to one of the people. And he said, "Because you know so much about God that I don't know as much as you know." Well, I'm just giving you an idea of what we talk about here. You see, like you, I'm desperate for God. I've got to have God. I can't have a little patchwork Jesus on Sunday. I've got to have Him. And when I met Him, it's like, I just want more of Him. How do I get more of Him? And if we want to have peace, Isaiah 26:3, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on Thee." But when our mind is stayed on the games and our mind is stayed on all these other things, those things don't bring peace. Those things don't meet my need. They're a false hope. They're a false comfort. They're a false God. You know? And it's like, we don't hardly ever talk about this because all we talk about is
I just want you to love Jesus, you know? And it's like, but we teach a lot of these principles. He's just kind of like bringing it down where the rubber meets the road. Can you hear it, you know? Can you feel it in your life? It's like, oh, you mean that. Well, I don't always tell people this. I want to teach you the principle. You know, you become what you associate with. You know, that's what we become, is what we hang out with. And I don't want to cut anybody off. When he was talking about friends, I determined a long time ago I was going after Jesus. And I'm not saying I do everything right, but I'm trying to help you understand why I do what I do, and maybe you might find that it applies to you. When people get around me, do you notice what I talk about? When you get around me, what do we talk about? The hitman that came to work with me in the machine shop, the 200-man machine shop. Everybody was scared of him because he was a hitman. Everybody was scared of me because I was a Jesus man. So the Jesus man and the hitman hung out together. Guess what they talked about? Jesus. And one day the hitman stuck his finger in my face and said, "I don't want to hear about that no more." And I said, "No problem. My mom didn't raise any fools to live in Michigan. No problem. We won't talk. Because if you hang out with me, that's what I'm going to talk about." My point to you is this. How are we going to reach people for Jesus? We can't go and compromise. You love the wrong crowd, but you don't run with the wrong crowd. Everybody in your life, they either minister to you, you minister to them, or you minister with them. Which one are they? Are they somebody you want to minister to you? The people we're trying to reach and bring to Jesus, do you want them to minister whatever they're living to you? Or are you supposed to minister to them and get them to Jesus? They need Jesus. You don't need their drink. You don't need their pornography. You don't need their distractions. Do you understand? So you love them, but ask God to help you. I'm just challenging you. Control the conversation so that you want to help get them to Jesus, not just talk about the football games and the nothing wrong with, you know what I'm saying. I'm not trying to pick on you, you know, or the baseball games or the hockey games or the, no, I don't even want to talk about it, you know. Or the ping pong games or the tennis match. No. It's Jesus. I'm just going to tell you this and I'm done, unless somebody has something to say. I went in the bank the other day and I saw a man and his teenage son come walking in the bank. And I went up, I did my business. As I was walking out of the bank, the teenager came walking. And he was walking right in front of me. I'm heading toward the door. You can picture right where I am, you know. I'm walking right toward the door. The teenager, and he looks at me and catches my eye. And he goes, "What's up?" What do you think I said? What did I say? Now, listen to what I'm going to say. Right after I said that, God said to me, listen to me. Right after I said that, God said to me, and I'm challenging you with this. God said, "What if you never meet that boy again? And you only said one word to him that God could use as a seed to touch his life? What thing better could I have said? That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. What's up, Jesus?" Why do y'all say that? Well, when you get it, I'll quit saying it. As long as you keep saying, "What's up," I'm figuring you don't know it's Jesus yet. What's up, Jesus? But God said to me, it was almost like God went like this. "Well done, son. You couldn't have said anything better. We need to build our altars. An altar is a meeting place with God. You see, I believe that we ought to just talk to Him all the time. I don't wait till nighttime. I don't wait till I'm getting ready to leave the house. I just want to be in constant communication, talking to Him about everything. But we need to have time that we set aside where He is important. It's what He's teaching is a dependency, a communication, a fellowship, hanging out with Him. Why don't you come lead us in prayer? Anybody have anything to say? Dave, do you have something to say? Pregnant woman, did you have something to say?
Dear Lord, I just thank You. I thank You for this divine appointment that You brought to us, Lord. Your Word, Your truth. Lord, I just ask that the ears that heard wouldn't forget what they heard today. Lord, I just ask that You work in everyone that heard this Word today to start to build their altar, to start to communicate with You, Lord. And we just say, thank You, Jesus, that You'd even consider us worthy, Lord. We just thank You for dying on the cross for our sins, because we nailed You there. And it's a gift that You've given us. It's not something that we earn. I like that new song that I heard. I just want to thank You, Jesus. How can I thank You enough except give You the praise and the worship that You deserve? Hosanna. 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 Save now, we pray. We pray this in Your holy name, Lord. Amen.